Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Tomorrow, Wednesday, January the 22nd, we are going to celebrate as a church in the United States a rather significant event. It is in many ways a sad event, but is also an event filled with hope and commitment. It is the day of prayer set aside by the Church for the legal protection of unborn children. It is placed on this day because that is the date many years ago that the Supreme Court declared that the right to abortion was found in the penumbra of the Constitution of the United States. A tragic day. And I find it not ironic, but rather suggestive, that this day falls in the midst of winter. And in fact, less than a month after the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And in commemorating this occasion, I am always amazed by the fact that almost two-thirds of my life has been spent defending the right to life, both as a layperson and as a member of the clergy. And I will continue to do so as long as the Lord grants me breath. I am also amazed and edified by the steadfastness of the defenders of life, I think symbolized by the fact that so many of them will travel to Washington, D.C. simply to demonstrate their commitment, sometimes in the most inclement of weather. But, of course, when we celebrate Epiphany and the visit of the Magi, we realize that they, too, guided by that star, came at the worst time of the year, traveling through some really rough territory in order to come and lay simply their gifts at the feet of the newborn king. And the steadfastness of the defenders, even in inclement weather, allowed us to keep the meaning of human life before the people. But there are other signs of how the steadfastness will work, not simply in demonstrations and political action, and as important as they are, but the fact that over the many years, faithful Christians have established pregnancy centers maintained entirely by the faithful without tax income to allow women in crisis pregnancies to understand the meaning of life and to assist them in accepting the life that they bear within them. And these pregnancy centers are not only effective because of the help they give, the direction, both before and after the birth of the women's children, but by the fact that they exemplify a persuasive power of love and concern, which is something that I think fundamentally touches the hearts of all, because one of our real tasks in defense of life is not simply to act both socially and politically to defend that life, but also to convert the hearts of other people. There have been some very real successes over the years, especially in turning around the attitudes of the people. And their very successes, however, have encouraged an occasion and even more bitter opposition to life that has become more insistent, extending even to a defense of partial birth abortion. So we still have work to do. We have work to do that is defensive of human life, which is, of course, the first of all human rights, but also work to do to convince and persuade others of the power of life and the profound love of God. I think of how the birth of Jesus awakened the hatred of King Herod, who preferred the darkness of transient power to the goodness of life. And from the very beginning of our existence, we've had to deal with what John Paul II called the mysterium of evil, of darkness. It can be opposed with light and love. And we work very carefully to express that, not only in our care for those women who need special help in difficult pregnancies, but also in our speech, in our language, our devotion, our steadfastness to the help of others. Because it is a love of neighbor that we are called to work in this very difficult situation. And even as we renew the public call for the defense of the unborn on this day, we must also renew our efforts to understand and promote the meaning of human life. Human life is a preeminent gift of God's creative love. We are given that life not because of any need that God had for us, but out of a simple desire that there be others to share his life, a profound act of love. And it is a profound gift because it brings us not only into existence, but through the presence of Jesus Christ, it invites us into divine and everlasting life. Secondly, we must remember that the first of all vocations, and this is to every human person, is the vocation to the protection of life, our own lives, how we care for them, how we allow them to flourish and develop, and then of those entrusted to our care. And this, of course, can be in a very large sense. It can be the care that is entrusted to us in our family, as mothers and fathers who welcome the children into life must care for them to allow that life to flourish. But in fact, all of us have a responsibility to care for the life of all of those within our community and in our society, remembering that the love of neighbor is the commandment which flows directly from the commandment to love God above all other things. And we have to realize also that we have a responsibility for a future generation. And our desire for and our care for and preparation for a future generation is our acknowledgement of the good of created nature, destined for God, who alone has absolute authority over us. And my dear friends, as we gather on this day to give witness, to offer our prayer, to praise God for his gift of life, to ask him for his mercy and grace every moment of our lives, remember that as Christians, we live between humility and hope. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And remember that even the smallest acts in defense of God's gifts is an acknowledgement of the victory of Jesus Christ. And therein lies our hope, even in the small things we do, to assist perhaps one other person, or to give one simple word of witness. And all the things we do, we live in the hope that that victory of Jesus Christ will be manifest. And as St. Julian of Norwich said in concluding her revelations that she had of Jesus, all will be well. All manner of thing will be well.